Blog Talk Radio.
All right, Dre, let's get this party started.
Yeah.
And you know this.
I never get sick of that, man. It's always a great sound, and we always are ready to kick off another great edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Man, pre-draft, NBA playoffs, college, baseball, we got it all for you guys this night, as always. Of course, I'm Andre Peterson, joined by some co-hosts, and you are official Talking Sports. Today is April the 29th. And, of course, as always, I got to introduce the crew like a good point guard dishing it off. I got to first check in with my boy JQ. How you doing this evening, sir?
Oh, man, hanging in there. I love the music, man. It gets me so amped to be ready to go.
I love it, JQ. I love the energy. That's what it's all about. And without further ado, we got to check in with T-Rob. T-Rob Ford, how you doing, sir? From the Bayou. How you doing, sir?
I am doing great. Doing great, man. Up here in Washington, D.C., checking on the Washington Wizards, man, and their playoff run here. So, you know, got to make it do what it do.
Love it, love it, love it, man. We got a really packed show for you guys tonight. Not too many topics because, you know, as you didn't know, the draft is tomorrow. We're getting excited about that. We're going to wrap it up with some NBA playoffs. And just kind of kicking it out, maybe we'll get into some college football and the OT portion. But as always, let me set the stage. If you ever want to call into the show and reach out to us, the number is always 424-243-9519. Once again, 424-243-9519. We're also available in the Twitter world. If you go to at the number 12, THMAN Sports, you'll follow us via Twitter. I got some responses, guys. I got to read for you guys from Twitter, which is pretty cool. And then finally, we're also on Facebook. So if you go to facebook.com/12thManSports, you'll see us posting some topics and stuff like that. I am eventually going to give JQ admin rights so he can kind of post as well. So, I don't want to be one side with Rob always posting about the Saints and stuff like that there. So we'll keep some balance from the sports team there. So.
Hey, man, I post about everything, man.
I'm just giving you a hard time. You always try to post.
You barely see. I post about the Saints on my personal page.
JQ, he's like Jekyll and Hyde, man. He's all, like, professional on the show, but on Saints page, he's like crazy, man. It's hilarious. But anyway.
Oh, yeah, no, I've seen his post. He goes in on his personal post.
He's going ham over there, man. So I got you. We know how it is, Rob. But, gentlemen, let's kind of kick it off. We got some NBA playoffs here. I love that you guys showed me some love. I kind of backed off the ledge. The Hawks pulled it out, man, so I'm excited about that. But, I know JQ was pretty – I was a little nervous because, JQ didn't think we were going to come out the first round. So we still got one more game to win. But anything you guys want to talk about, I'll start with you. It's just kind of like exciting, some good games here. And I'll start with Rob this time. And, anything you want to kind of talk about, Rob, as far as the series and stuff like that, sir?
Well, obviously, you just brought up the fact that your Hawks took a 3-2 lead. Actually, that's been a pretty good series. That's been some pretty good games with Brooklyn and the Hawks. Even the game tonight, even though Atlanta got off to a great start, Brooklyn made a game of it again. A lot closer than the score indicates. And you look at Brooklyn, this team has some players, even though they had a losing record in the regular season, they have some players with some playoff experience that's kind of helping them to kind of at least be competitive in this series. Darren Williams, Joe Johnson, Brook Lopez, some pretty good players. Actually, you would think they would have had a better regular season, with the kind of personnel that they had. But ultimately, I think Atlanta's going to pull it out. We'll have to see if it goes 6 or 7 games. Regardless, I think Atlanta will pull it out. And I think you look at a great matchup in the second round between Atlanta and Washington. And, I think Washington has got a very good chance of pulling that series out. That's going to be really interesting. I can see that one also being a 6 or 7 game series between Washington and Atlanta. And you got the same situation with Washington here. You got a playoff vet in Paul Pierce with some young guns and John Wall and Bradley Beal. And also you got Nene, another guy with some playoff experience. So they're going to be a tough out in that the next round. And I expect Chicago and Cleveland to be also playing in the next round. That's going to be pretty intriguing as well without Kevin Love. It's going to be interesting to see how well Cleveland can do without him, as well as they're going to be missing J.R. Smith the first two games of that series. So that's going to be interesting as well. I expect Cleveland to pull it out even without Kevin Love. I do not expect them to win the championship without Kevin Love. I think they're going to miss him, miss that stretch four, as far as going any further. But I do expect them to at least get by Chicago. When you look at the Western Conference, Memphis getting a big blow with losing Mike Conley. I didn't expect them to beat Golden State even with them, so I still expect Golden State to get by Memphis. Also in the second round, the Spurs and Houston is going to be very intriguing. I see that being a 6-7 game series, but I still like the Spurs with pulling that out. So there's my playoff recap. That was pretty long-winded right there. Maybe y'all give me a shot.
Dang, break. Rob. Come on, man.
I was going to say, you leave some meat on the bone for the rest of us, man.
JQ, man, take your time, sir. Just enjoy it, man. Go ahead, man.
No, I'm just messing with you. The thing that stands out to me the most is that Kevin Love injury, and Rob hit on it. I think that just opened the door wide open in the East for Washington, for me in particular, because I just have been impressed by the way they've been playing basketball. And I agree with the whole Brooklyn Nets piece. I don't understand with that team that they have how they, you know, muck through a regular season with a losing record when you have that kind of firepower, and they showed it. They can't get Darren Williams to stay consistent, and I don't know what's happened to him. He's kind of just fallen off a cliff. But they need him to bring it every game. But Kevin Love has opened that door for Chicago especially, to steal that against Cleveland. And the person I'm looking at the most is Tristan Thompson for Cleveland. I think he, wanting the big contract extension coming up, he's got to show and prove now. This is his time. You know, he needs to listen to that John Cena song. This is his time. He's got to come through for Cleveland and make an impact and really step into that void. I like Rob going ahead and pulling the Spurs ahead of the Clippers. I'm not quite sure, even though, you know, they got to go to Game 6 in San Antonio. That's going to be tough for L.A., but that has been a really fun matchup. Like, we thought it was going to be the best matchup of the first round, and it's turned out to not prove us wrong. I kind of worry about Golden State a little bit, only because sometimes when you get too much rest, you come back a little rusty. I still think they can beat either Memphis or Portland, but I don't think that, you know, that first game, I think it's going to be a little bit more trying for them because you can only get so hyped up in practice, but then you need that real competition. But outside of that, you know, I'm waiting really on a Golden State to meet the winner of the Spurs Clippers. And in the East, I can't call it now with Kevin Love being hurt. I wouldn't be surprised by anybody at this point outside of maybe Brooklyn. You know, I'm Milwaukee coming out of the East. But everybody else with Kevin Love being hurt, I think, has a shot.
I love it, man. Good stuff. And just to comment, you know, I got to agree with what you both said about the addition of Paul Pierce to Washington, man, really changed that team, man. He just brings a – I know you said it, Rob, you know, you see JT's commenting on that, man, just a veteran presence. That's a missing piece, man. He's got playoff experience, and he's kind of definitely calmed down that squad. Toronto, we'd expect them to get swept like that, you know, so number two seed, they just handle there. And same thing with, you know, I guess it's if you are, you know, kind of a top seed, it's going to get tested early. You know, that's kind of my take because, you know, Golden State, you know, they thought they were going to fly through and they just literally been getting some challenges. I think it's going to have challenges early now to kind of get yourself ready. You know, and I know everyone is a little nervous about Brooklyn. I'm not happy about all your comments about why they're not showing up. You know, I'd like them to kind of keep thinking that they're not ready to play, man. So other than that, they've been putting up a good fight, but it's been very interesting to say the least. So and hopefully, like you said, man, we'll come out of the round in all of Atlanta and all of our cities just kind of wait for this moment too. So we're not looking for that letdown. I was going to ask you guys real quick, were there any surprises that you guys thought of in the series? My surprise obviously was the quickness of how the Wizards dispatched Toronto, but anything else you want to kind of think about, JQ, anything that's kind of surprising in the series so far in the playoffs?
You know, honestly, not really. A mild surprise is Milwaukee fighting back from three down, 3-0 to come back to win the next two and force them to game six in Milwaukee when they could have rolled over and died. I'm really impressed by that, and I was impressed by the feistiness of Boston. Even though Cleveland dispatched them, they gave them, I think, a little bit more of a fight than people gave them credit for than the final score indicated. But, you know, those were games that were, you know, in doubt in the second and third quarter when Nick Cleveland had to step on the gas. But, again, losing Kevin Love, to me, is the storyline. That took them from the clear-cut favorite to come out of the East, to me, to putting them right back in the pack with everybody else. And Washington kind of catching their groove at the right point. You know, and Atlanta struggling a little bit with Brooklyn. I think what's hurting Atlanta is they play a great team offense, but they don't, to me, have that guy that in the fourth quarter when you just need buckets and need to take over, they don't really have that guy. They have the system, but they don't have that guy. So I think that kind of shows up sometimes in the playoffs, but I still think they should beat Brooklyn.
I think it's fine, man. I ain't worried about it, man. Until we prove everyone wrong, we're going to have to always have that situation, too, because it can be anyone. But it's tough because you don't want to focus on one person. But, you know, I don't know. We still have to – we got to prove a lot to anyone. Rob, any surprises for you, sir, that you want to talk about, sir?
Hey, I agree mostly with you guys have mentioned when it comes to surprises. I'm somewhat surprised that Brooklyn is being as competitive with the Hawks. I thought if Indiana was that team that would have got in as the 8th seed, I thought they would have been that team that would have been really pushed the Hawks. So that's somewhat surprising. I think JQ hit on it with the Milwaukee Bucks winning 2 in a row to make this a series with the Chicago Bulls. I think that's somewhat surprising as well. You have to wonder in that Game 5 situation that the Bulls, I thought they should have had a little bit more fire to try to end that series, to try to get their series started with the Cavs kind of right away. But it didn't, you know. It, maybe they, you know, had the mentality that they took the game more lightly as opposed to having more fire in that series. So that was somewhat surprising. And definitely the Wizards. I didn't expect a sweep of the – I thought it would have been a really close series. But watching those games, the personnel looked like a complete mismatch. With the Wizards and the Raptors, you know, even Lowry doesn't quite look 100% with the Toronto Raptors as well. So that was somewhat surprising with that being a complete mismatch in a 4-5, you know, 4-5 format in the Eastern Conference. So, so I think you guys hit on it. You know, those three series to me were the most surprising. You know, thus far, you know, I expected the Spurs and the Clippers to be the best first round series, and so far, you know, it's right on that mark too. So we'll have to see if the Spurs can end it at home in 6, or they're gonna go back to LA for Game 7.
So can I just throw one point out there to you? And I wanted to ask you both this because I was watching it. I don't understand the coaches still using the regular rest pattern in a Game 4 or Game 5 closeout. Like when I watched Houston play against Dallas and they got like a 10-point lead and they took Harden out for his regular rest and he rested for like 8 minutes in the quarter of game time, which was maybe like 25-30 minutes, and Dallas came back and got the momentum, ended up winning that Game 4. And I'm sitting here watching, trying to understand why coaches are still using your regular rest patterns when you have a chance to close the team out and proceed to the next round, and you're going to get those days off anyway once you go on complete the sweep or put somebody out in Game 5. I had that same problem when I watched Chicago, when I watched some of the rest patterns with Noah and Rose, and I don't understand it, and I was just wanted to get you guys' feedback on, did you notice that, and do you have any feelings on it?
Good, Rob.
Well, I think that's a good point. You know, typically when you get to playoff basketball, teams shorten their bench and get away because, you know, you got a little bit more rest. You don't have to play back-to-backs in playoffs. So typically teams may have a 10 to 11-man rotation in the regular season, and typically teams would drop down to an 8-man rotation in playoffs and shorten your bench because, once again, you know, these games are a lot more important. And also, obviously, you're getting a little bit more rest. We're having a day or two in between games. You don't have any back-to-back situations. Typically, you should be seeing your star players in the game a lot more come playoff time just because you're able to rest them a little bit more in between games. So, I mean, that is somewhat surprising. You know, those guys should be in the game for about, especially your star players, they should be playing 35 to 40 minutes in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
You know, I agree with you, JQ, though. You know, and maybe some people, maybe coaches are kind of used to wear those regular patterns because they don't want to change too much. Maybe they're superstitious, you know. I don't know. But you would definitely think that they would let them play a little bit more, too, sir, because it's very, you know, it's the playoffs, right? Playoffs! There you go, Rob.
Hey, you know, Greg Popovich is one of the things he does. You know, he rests his players a lot in the regular season, especially as a lot of Asian guys on his team. Aging, yep. Not Asian. Let me make sure I clear, didn't say that clearly.
Clear that up, Rob. Clear that up. Have the people call it.
So, you know, you rest those guys in the regular season a lot so they can be fresh come playoff time. Plus, they get that additional rest as well come playoff time, too. So, I mean, that's a very good point.
Good deal. We spent about a good 15 minutes talking about the playoffs. I didn't think we were going to last that long. Playoffs! But let's talk, and we're both probably in the same agreements that Cleveland can't survive without Kevin Love, so we're all seem to be on that same page. Let's kick it off, man. Spend the rest of the show. I'd love to talk about the NFL draft, which is tomorrow. Man, I think JQ said it last week, if your lips are moving, you're lying, man. All these smoke screens out, man. No one knows what's going to happen. But I want to pose this question, right, because I've been thinking about this. And not to be all about me, but I just need some. I need you guys to talk as I'm catching up with my voice here. But the old adage, taking the best player available or drafting for need, right? So, you know, if you indulge me here, you know, because I keep hearing, you know, stuff about, you know, we're going to draft a defensive end. But if Todd Gurley's there, I'm actually like, dang, I'm not mad at that because, you know, maybe he's, you know, the best player at that time. You know, I don't want to get, like, the fourth best defensive end. But I can get the best player available. So it can be any position. And I just want to hear your thoughts about that and how you think the draft's going to go. Is Chip Kelly going to get his guy, man, and Marcus Mariota? I just want to get your thoughts about that. I guess I'll kick it off with Rob as far as that thought process as well. JQ, stay patient, sir. We're coming to you as well. What you got, Rob?
I missed what you said about the player that you thought the Falcons was going to take. It sounded like you cut out a little bit there. If you can just repeat that
sorry.
Really quick.
Yeah, Todd Gurley. I was saying, like, what if Todd Gurley said?
Oh, Todd
there?
Gurley, okay.
Yeah. And I'm not trying to cause, you know, obviously I'm causing some challenges because everyone's like, we don't need a running back. But I'm like, if that's the best player, you know, why not? I don't want to get the fourth defensive end or I don't want to, you know, overdraft somebody. I mean, it's just, I don't know. Just kind of, I'm kind of curious about your thoughts about that.
Yeah, I feel would be somewhat surprised if the Falcons take Todd Gurley at number 8. That's just my opinion. I know they're some experts that believe Gurley. There's some experts that believe Gurley could go as high as number 6 to the Jets. The Jets are pretty high on him. Todd Bowles want to have a strong running game, ball control offense with a great defense. That seems to be his mantra. That seems to be what he wants to incorporate with the Jets. So there's some experts that believe he could pick Gurley as high as number 6 to the Jets. You know, it could happen. I mean, I still have the Jets going with Vic Beasley from Clemson at the number 6 position. And I still have Gurley on somewhere around number 16 in Houston. But, I mean, there are some experts that believe he can go as high as number 6. So that's going to be intriguing. And then you mentioned the fact about the Eagles possibly getting Marcus Mariota. I will say this, they're doing everything they possibly can to move up and get him as we speak.
Wow.
I think they're going to be on the phones all night tonight and all day tomorrow. The Eagles are very active in trying to move up and get him at number 2. And here's the deal with the Tennessee Titans. they are prepared to take Marcus Mariota. It doesn't necessarily mean he's going to stay a Titan. But they are prepared to keep him if they cannot find the right trade partner. The Tennessee Titans does not want to move below. The lowest they want to go in the first round is 16 or 17. That becomes a little problem for the Eagles because the Eagles are at number 20. So if the Eagles are going to move up to number 2, they got to get really creative and find a third team in this trade for them to move up. Tennessee Titans does not want to go anywhere below 16 or 17 in this first round. So that opens the door for San Diego. They're number 17, so they obviously have an opportunity. The Bears at number 7 have an opportunity to move up. And also the Jets at number 6 also has an opportunity to move up. So Tennessee is willing, like I said, they do not want to drop to number 20. The lowest they will go is number 17 in this first round. So we have to see how creative the Eagles can get to move up to number 2. The Washington Redskins are not going to move up getting Mariota. The Redskins are number 5 or trying to trade down. You mentioned your Falcons here. The Falcons are one of these teams the Redskins are talking to about moving up to number 5, the Redskins dropping down to number 8. So the Falcons want to move up to get one of those defenders, either Leonard Williams, Dante Fowler, or Vic Beasley. So watch your Falcons possibly move up to number 5. Also, the Saints at 13. The Saints are 13, or even talking to the Redskins about moving up to number 5. The Saints would trade both of their first-round picks, the 13th and the 31st. But the Saints only want to make the deal if Leonard Williams is still available at number 5. So there's some just some nuggets for the draft. It's going to be I think the intriguing thing also about this draft, too, we got so many players that have question marks, the most that I can remember in a long time. And it's hard for anybody to really put together a mock draft. You look at a guy like Shane Ray, who's a top 10 talent. I think this guy could be the. I think the guy can be the next Robert Mathis, the guy that can give you 10 sacks or more a season. These guys are hard to come by. Definitely a top 10 talent. I did my last mock draft on last Friday. I had him falling to 13 to the Saints, but this guy can easily drop to the third round after what happened on Monday. Obviously, like I said, I did my mock on Friday. He gets arrested on Monday. But this could. This guy can go anywhere from the top 10 all the way to the third round still. It just depends on how teams are going to value character and things of that nature. That's what's the hardest thing to gauge about some of these players in this draft. You got a situation with Lael Collins, offensive tackle with LSU. Even though police are saying he's not a suspect, you know, teams still have to question, you know, will he become a suspect? So, I mean, there's just so many question marks. Shane Ray with the arrest and the ankle injury. You got the situation with Lael Collins. You got the marijuana issue with Randy Gregory, Jalen Collins. Even though there's another report that says NFL players, about 50% of the league smokes marijuana. So we'll see how much that affects those players in this draft. So it's... that's really hard to gauge when you're putting together a mock draft.
Man, Rob is long-winded. JQ, it's all you, my friend.
Well, I think the one team that you're leaving out of that has the ammunition to move over are the Cleveland Browns with those two first-round picks, and they may be trying to save face, and they have enough ammunition, I believe, to get up to that two spot to challenge San Diego
do.
And get Tennessee to move back. Yeah, I think they do. Those two first-round picks, was it 12 and 19?
Yeah,
to move up. To go get Mariota, and I've been hearing that the owner has them, feels like they have egg on their face by getting Manziel last year, and they want to rectify that, and they're not quite sure how he's going to, you know, recover from the rehab. And you got Mariota, who's probably as squeaky clean as they come as the quarterback in this draft, where they can move up. So if they do that, then they can shake up the whole draft. But your point, I think it also is where teams get in trouble with drafting for need and overreaching as opposed to just drafting the best player available, and then you work everything else out and let it settle itself. But with Gurley at 8, you also have to take consideration he's a UGA product, and people don't want to hear that, but I still think they have a need at running back, and he's going to put butts in the seats being a local product and a hero, the same way I think Winston helps put seats in Tampa Bay being a Florida State product. So you can never take that out of the equation. I think that's always a strong consideration that they may not, you know, make as vocal as they want people to hear, but I think it's definitely a strong consideration. So to me, the Cleveland is the dark horse. If they're willing to you know, pony up those two first-round picks and say a second-round pick this year or next year, and Tennessee, you know, moves back and picks up those two picks, that changes everybody's draft board.
Absolutely. You talk about the need versus best player available. You know, in my opinion, you know, you always try to address most of your needs in free agency, if not all of your needs in free agency. That way, when you get to the draft, you can concentrate on drafting best player available. Now, obviously, if you have a guy, if you have guys with equal grades at the time that you're picking, then you pick that need, obviously. But if you have a guy with a grade that's just so much higher than another guy and he's not a need, you still got to draft that player because you want to have, you know, obviously you want to build depth on your football team. And you want to have to actually have a player on your team that can make the team, too. And, you know, especially when you start getting into those later rounds, too. And so, yeah, you always draft the best player available. And like I said, if you get to a point in the draft where you have guys with equal grades, then you draft the guy that's got more of a need on your football team.
And the last point, Dre, I read the last mock draft that Kiper and McShay did together. I believe it was McShay that took Gurley at 8 to Atlanta.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to cause trouble. It's just it really frustrates me because, like I said, I mean, Rob, you nailed it right on the head because, you know, it's like you want to get the you want to take care of all your needs in free agency. Then when you come to draft, you know, you're not like hindered by I only have blinders on just for this defensive end, and then you end up missing a player, you know, because of you know, well, whatever. I'm not going to get the second best player in the draft, so you know, it's just interesting to me. I know I look like everyone. We need a defensive end, but still. You shouldn't be so hamstrung that you can't get – I mean, I keep hearing all these words about how Gurley's next Adrian Peterson, and, you know, he has a lot of upside. So, I mean, this dude is – if you can get him, get him. But we'll see if he's even there, as Rob said, at number 6, if the Jets take him, then I'll be happy. At least I know that we don't have a shot. So we better not trade up. That's all I got to say. JQ, we got about 3 minutes. Who do you want for your Bengals, actually, sir? Who are you targeting? If you wanted to say, hey – this has been a good draft. If this happened, what would you say? Who's the player that you would actually want for your Bengals there?
Well, I'm going to go off the reservation a little bit because it hasn't happened in any of the mock drafts. But for me, and it's not too much of a homer pick, and I know you guys are going to say it, but Devin Smith for Ohio State, if you think about when the Bengals were the most explosive, is when they had TJ, Chad, and the late Chris Henry. And when you had Chad and TJ out there, you couldn't double-team Chris Henry, even though you knew he was going to go deep, but he could take the top off the defense. And when they had Carson Palmer back there with that arm, they were just explosive vertically throwing the ball. And I think they have that same situation when you talk about an A.J. Green and a Marvin Jones, but they don't have that guy that can just take the top off of defense like Devin Smith can. So I would like that, but I know they're probably not going to do it. Outside of that, I'm looking for them, to your adage, the best player available. They have needs at defensive end. They said maybe Bud Dupree may slide, or Gregory, or a linebacker with Shaq Thompson, are one of the tackles because you've got both the tackles, Andre Smith and Whitworth, going into their final contract year. So that would be my take. I would love for them to take Devin Smith, though.
Rob, you got about 13 seconds. You can set up the OT portion. Rob, who would you want to take for your Saints, sir?
I tell you what, my latest mock draft, I had the Saints, like I said, did this draft on Friday prior to the situation with Shane Ray. I had the Saints taking him at number 13. You know, I'm not so sure about that pick now. Obviously, the Saints had a lot of needs here. And, you know, I just want to see them draft the best player available. You know, Shelton, the big defensive tackle from Washington, I think will be a great pickup for the Saints. If I had my, you know, number one desire, I think if Cleveland stays at 12, I think Cleveland will pick him just ahead of the Saints. And, just my personal opinion, that's why I have Shelton going in my latest mock draft. Because also Cleveland runs that 3-4 defense. But we'll finish talking about this in the OT portion. We got to get set up for that. You know, those of you all want to continue to hear our thoughts on the NFL draft. And also I posted my first three rounds. I have a first, second, and third round mock draft on our Talking Sports with 12-page page. So I have a three-round mock draft there for all of you football nuts out there. It's on the Talking Sports with 12-page. definitely stay tomorrow all day. If you get a break, tune into our OT portion. Click on the same link, and you can hear our thoughts on the NFL draft. On tomorrow, and also we'll be recapping it on our show next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. We'll be recapping the NFL draft, giving our own grades, who performed the best in the draft, as well as we'll be talking more of the NBA playoffs on next Tuesday night. So definitely want to stay tuned for that. We appreciate you all tuning in. Thanks, and good night.
Good night, people.
Adios.
Yeah, there it is. All right, Rob has been long-winded the whole night, Rob. I'm not picking on you. I'm just saying you've been saying a lot, man, which is good for me. I'm just going to sit back and kind of pass it off. We'll keep talking. Yeah, I'm excited that you put your three-round mock-up there, man. It's pretty fantastic. Before we continue, I want to ask two questions about a couple situations. Peyton Manning says he doesn't see next season as a farewell tour. We'll see how he performs because, at this juncture, I don't know if they have enough this time. And then the Vikings GM Spielman has said that they have no interest in trading Adrian Peterson. I'm kind of curious as far as your thoughts on these scenarios there. So I'll kick it to JQ first about you can talk about whatever you want to talk about as far as Peyton Manning or Spielman, sir.
Yeah, so I agree with Peyton. I don't think you necessarily want to come into a season saying that. And I think that puts added pressure on the pressure he already has to get a second Super Bowl title. You just want to go ahead and play the game that you're going to play. And then at the end of next year, if you feel like it's time to hang it up, then you hang it up. You know, I'm not a big proponent of telling people in advance and, having to get these special gifts every time you go to a city and whatnot. I mean, I guess that's cool and everything, but if you don't want to approach it that way, I have no problems with that. He's out there to try to win a Super Bowl, and that's his only focus, and that's what makes Peyton Manning Peyton Manning. So I don't have an issue with that statement. And as far as Spielman, it goes back to what I've been saying about Minnesota. They have all the leverage. So in order for you to get Adrian Peterson, you're going to have to come with a really good offer, or you force Adrian Peterson's hand to sit out, or he's going to have to suit up and play for the Vikings and put everything else in the past and try to go out there and put his best foot forward. Or he's going to have to come to the front office and say, hey, I'm willing to restructure my contract and make it more palatable for somebody to trade for me. So no surprises from the GM's perspective. He has no reason to say anything different.
Good call, Jake. You've been pretty consistent saying that too, man. So, yeah, I concur with you, man. So, good stuff. Rob, anything else you want to say about that, my friend?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I basically have the same thoughts as JQ on both of those topics. When you're talking about Peyton Manning here, I think you got to just take this year by year, see how his body feels, see if he's still into the game, see if he's still mentally sharp as well, if he still has that drive. So you have to take this by year case, see how he feels as far as approaching the year. So I think he's doing the right thing. Instead of saying this is my last year, I think he's just taking year by year and see how it goes. In the Vikings situation, Spielman with the Adrian Peterson thing, it's twofold. Obviously, I think by saying that we have no interest in trading for him, if a team does want to make an offer, they're going to have to come with a serious offer. And so I think, that's a good move by Spielman by saying that, too, because obviously if you're trying to get rid of him, then teams could probably offer a fifth-round pick and maybe make the trade. But I think by Spielman saying this, you're going to have to come with a serious offer to get rid of Peterson. And if you don't, Peterson will be in a Viking uniform, and Peterson will have no choice but to play for the Vikings. So I think that's a good move by him coming out and making that statement. See, I went long with that, man.
Yeah, you were pretty good on that. So some predictions here, and I'm going to throw this out here. And I'm going to say a statement. I want you guys to comment yes or no if this is going to happen. Phillip Rivers will still be with the Chargers. Yes or no? JQ.
I'm going to say yes.
Rob.
I'm going to say yes because I think Cleveland is going to blow them away.
Okay. Rob.
I'm going to say yes, too. I just still can't believe that San Diego would trade an experienced quarterback for someone I think that's going to take a couple of years to develop, and just in my opinion. I think it's still a win-now league. Even I think it's 50-50 Tennessee trading that pick at a number two. So anything can happen, but I still just can't see them trading a proven quarterback. So I say he's still a Charger.
Marcus Mariota will be an Eagle. Yes or no, Rob?
I'm going to say no. I think it's the Titans have made it clear they don't want to go anywhere below 17, and I think the Eagles is just going to take too much of them to move up there. I say no. He's not an Eagle.
JQ.
I also say no. I think Mariota will be a Cleveland Brown.
Oh, wow. I like it.
That's
I'm
a bold
say,
prediction. If he's right on that,
that
one, I'll be sending him a quick text message.
That's going to be awesome. I'm gonna say, man, that he is, man. You know, should tell him to give up his left nut, man, or something for it. He's going to make it happen, man. He's joking, man. He's going to make it happen. I'm sorry,
this
man.
This is late night radio,
right.
People.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just saying, I didn't mean to come across. I'm saying he's gonna come with anything. He's gonna come blood guns blazing. I love it. Rob,
so
you want
two
talk
bold
about,
predictions.
You,
so JQ says he's gonna be a Brown. Andre says he's gonna be Eagle. That's gonna be fun.
I think
with a left nut
involved.
Yeah, giving up his left nut in the tree.
He's gonna figure out something, guys. Again, if he's like Mark, he's like Joseph, man. So I'm trying to, he's gonna try to figure out something. He's dangling. Sam Bradford, he's everyone, man. It's cracking me up. All right, we've done some bold. Now, Rob, we got about 10 minutes, sir. Do you want to talk about some college football stuff, sir? You want to kind of keep talking draft stuff? Because I know we can kind of briefly talk about Tennessee Volunteers and the Big 12. You want to kind of kick off of that, sir? We'll certainly do that if you'd like.
We can just kind of – that's two topics we can just kind of briefly go over and get back to the draft. I mean, the Tennessee Titans, I think the Butch Jones there has done a great job recruiting in the last couple of years. I think he's getting that program going back in the right direction, and I really do see them competing for SEC title again. And I think even this coming season, I see them be really competitive. I don't see them winning the SEC title or winning SEC East this season, but I think they're going to be a lot more competitive. You know, the interesting thing about Tennessee, that state doesn't produce a lot of great high school football players. So you really have to recruit nationally. And, you go back to the Philip Fulmer days, he did a really good job of that. He got players from California, he got players from Florida, he got players out of Atlanta, he got players out of Louisiana, he got players out of football-rich states because that state doesn't produce a lot of local talent. And so you really have to do that at Tennessee to be successful. And it looked like Butch Jones has gotten them going right back in that right direction. And then the other college football topic, I think the Big 12 is doing the right thing. Last year, they kind of screwed up by this co-champion thing. Basically, those two teams had the same record. And, you know, you should automatically just award the champion to the one who won a head-to-head matchup. I mean, that just makes all the sense in the world. And so it looked like the Big 12 were going in that direction. And that cost them from possibly being involved in the 14 playoff this year. So I don't know if you guys got any comments on those two topics.
To dig deeper on the Big 12, they've also petitioned the NCAA to have a Big 12 title game without having to go to 12 teams. And I think they are either have won that decision or they're close to winning that decision. So they won't even have that problem of having to make an arbitrary ruling, even though I agree, if you win head-to-head, you should be the champion. But if they win that, they should be able to settle it on the field, and then they take that guesswork out of it. I totally agree with Tennessee. When you are in this hotbed of talent in the Southeast and you're playing in arguably the best conference in the SEC, you have the ability to rebound. And, you know, I agree with you, and I'm looking at that SEC East, and you don't have an Alabama or an LSU or someone with Texas A&M where you just feel like they're going to be an overwhelming favorite. You know, Florida's still got to rebuild. Georgia, at times, you know, most of the time, underachieves. South Carolina has got some question marks. So the SEC East, to me, is there to be won. It's very possible, you know, another strong recruiting class, and Butch Jones, you know, continue to do what he's doing with Tennessee. I think they can get back on that very quickly.
Yeah. You mentioned the Big 12 championship game thing, and I know that the NCAA may let them slide with a championship game with 10 teams. I actually hope they decline them. I think you still should have 12 teams for a championship game, and I think the Big 12, they really want a championship game, in my opinion. I think they should find two other teams to come into their league so they can have a championship game. I hope the NCAA forces them to go that route.
Yeah, but when I read about that, I think it was more part of that conference realignment where they chose 12 as more of a – it wasn't a hard, fast rule. It was an arbitrary number, and they said they always had a little bit of leeway in it, and it was on a conference to petition for it. So it wasn't in a hard, fast stipulation that you had to have 12 to get that championship game. That's kind of what they went with initially. And then I think the Big 12 has capitalized on that sentiment that, you know, hey, can we do it with 10? And they're not finding a whole lot of – of obstacles to that, and I think the NCAA kind of wants the realignment thing to kind of settle down. So I think that's where they may go ahead and tell them they can do it, so then you don't have that shuffle again where you pull maybe like a Cincinnati and a Louisville, I know they had talked about, and then when you do that, you set off domino effects in all the other conferences. I think they kind of want that to go by the wayside here for at least for a little bit. So I hear what you're saying, but I don't know if they're going to rule against me.
Yeah, I just hope they do, but yeah, I think you're right. They probably won't, but I hope the NCAA does rule against them. But I think they should make it a hard rule that you have to have 12 teams. But that'll be interesting to see how that goes.
America, send all your emails to Robert Ford at I'm sure.
Hit us up on Facebook.
They don't have Twitter in the middle of America. What are you talking about? They're doing good to have electricity.
I love it. Good job, JQ. America, like you said, apologies. I know we're in the South, so yes, we're going to talk about SEC. So, I had some people that were hitting me up last week as far as we're SEC biased, but we're in the South, man. I can't call it as far as that too. So,
Hey, you don't get that from me. I'm a Big Ten guy. So, America, I'm with you. I'm a Big Ten guy.
We started hitting.
Thank you for bringing bounce.
Hey, that's okay. Defending national champions. I'm gonna ride it all through next year.
He's not gonna let us put that down. It's all good. It's all good, man. So it was a really great show, man. We got about 4 minutes left. I don't know if you want to talk like some last draft minutes, some stuff you're excited about. There's a lot of things, man. I'm going to miss the draft not being in New York, man, because I'm going to miss, Roger Goodell getting booed, man. That's one of my favorite parts. Hopefully.
It's not over.
You still get booed in Chicago.
Yeah. It's not over.
I'm hoping for a couple of things, as far as that, seeing some interesting players are going to, fall and some surprises, man. So the draft is all excited about that, too. I want to hear some feel-good stories, too, man, so I'm excited about that, too. So if you guys want to kind of comment, the reasons why we kind of love, the draft and how we're getting excited, man, seeing, did you just draft Ricky Williams and just getting disappointed, man, and all that fun stuff. So I'm going to start with Rob. Anything you want to talk about that, sir? Wrap up.
Well, I mentioned this earlier. I think if you're in the top 15 in this draft, you got to be somewhat disappointed with some of the things that's happened off the field with some of these players, because I think some of these guys are top 10, top 15 players, and talent wise, and they're going to lose out on a player. So if you got a team drafting at number 12 or 13, you maybe wind up drafting a guy that's talent wise and 16 or 17 range because of some of these guys' decisions that they made off the field here in this year's draft. So that's going to be really interesting to me, how teams value character versus talent. I think most teams still value talent over character, but that's still going to be interesting to see how that kind of plays out. We just don't know what teams are thinking behind the scenes about certain players in this draft. So that's going to be intriguing to me.
Smoke weed every day. Sorry, go ahead. JQ, you got a minute,
yeah,
sir.
I think it's just, for me, it's just the trades, because we go into it and the trades are going to happen, but you just don't know at one point. And then when the trades start to happen, it changes everybody's draft boards, and you can almost feel the GMs in the war room scrambling of, oh, my goodness, they took my guy, or he's moved up. Yeah. Now I know this other team, I'm going to have to jump in front of them to get the person that I want. So, again, we talked about it. I think, Cleveland and San Diego and Philadelphia are three teams to watch as our shakers to try to move up and chase for Mariota. And when they move up, what does that do to everybody else's draft board? And then you see the other teams start to scramble to try to recover from what happens in front of them.
I love it. Rob, go ahead and finish off.
So many smoke screens going on, too, here. So many smoke screens between a lot of these teams. A lot of teams are putting out misinformation. And that's the name of the game when it comes to the draft. That's the strategy of it all. So many teams will say we're looking to target a defensive player, and they'll draft an offensive player, and vice versa. And so it's a lot of strategy out there with the smoke screens too.
Got you guys. We appreciate you guys joining the show. Thank you so much, fellas. Man, what a great night. I always enjoy. Thank you guys for holding down the fort while I was under the weather, man. But looking forward to tomorrow. Anything else you want to say as we wrap it up?
Keep me posted while I'm at the game, fellas, please.
We'll do some draft updates, offensive text and stuff like that too as well. A lot of love, guys. Good luck. Be safe, Rob, in your travels, and give us some love from the game. Take a picture from the game too as well for us.